Very good. Okay, so the Gemara here on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph on the very top is going to raise a stira between something that we learned in the name of Shmuel before on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph and something that we're about to learn in the name of Shmuel. So let's go back.
I think you said at the beginning Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, but we're actually on Amud Bet, aren't we?
Right, we're on Amud Bet, but the Gemara is going to ask now a stira between something that we're going to about to quote here in the name of Shmuel and a statement of Shmuel on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So we want to go back for a minute to Amud Aleph. And we have the discussion of Shmuel about putting a receptacle under tzli in order to receive the shuman habasar. And what's problematic here is that he's receiving in that receptacle not only shuman habasar but also the dam, because when you roast a piece of meat, the dam comes out. So the two things that are shooting down, let's call it vertically from north to south, from this piece of roasted meat, one is dam and one is shuman, and they're mixing together in this receptacle. So Shmuel made the statement that in order to allow you to do such a thing, we have to wait until a certain moment in time. What's that moment in time? It's called Achiyichle Kol Mare Admumis Shebo. And that you'll see about five lines up before the end of Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph. So we're reviewing that. Now, what Shmuel is saying is that once the Admumis is gone, then there's no problem anymore. Now what that means is that the basar will give off dam on two levels, so to speak, on two stages, one after the other. In the first stage, it's very bloody red. It's real red dam. But that dam comes to a point of termination, meaning there's going to be a siyum pleita sadam. There's going to be a moment in time when the piece of roasted meat finishes the process of spitting forth all its dam. And from that time and on, anything that comes out of the meat is not considered dam, but we'll call it moel. We'll call it some sort of a liquid substance. It's got a light reddish color, but it's not dam. The Gemara then vacillates back and forth. How do you know exactly what that point is? And the Gemara has a concept called Mishatala Timroso. But what's important for us today, as we are about to embark on the new sugya, which is going to be Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav Ikal Rav Ashi on the top of Amud Beis, is that Shmuel on Amud Aleph made a statement that at a certain point in time, the tzli, the basa tzli, is no longer giving forth dam, because all the mara admumis, all that dark colored dam, has already removed, has already been spit forward. There was already a siyum haplate of that dam. And once that point of time has passed, you can now put your receptacle under the tzli to receive both quote-unquote dam, which is really not dam, and shuman habasar. That's what we saw in Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to ask from a different statement of Shmuel that we've seen earlier that seems to contradict that statement of Shmuel about Mishayichle Hadmunis Admumis Shebedam. So the Gemara's language is the following. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi, is it possible that Shmuel holds that we don't care about dam that comes from the basar after you reach the point of Kola Mare Adam Mumis Shebov Amar Shmuel? We have another statement of Shmuel, and you may recall the statement of Shmuel. Kikar Shechotach Aleha Basar. He's got a piece of meat that's been roasted, and now he's cutting that roasted meat on top of a loaf of bread. And obviously what's going to happen is that the redness from this piece of meat is going to, you know, this liquid red is going to squeeze forward and enter into the loaf of bread. And Shmuel says, Osuli Ochlo. You're not allowed to eat this piece of bread because it has a blia of dam that came out of the basar. And Shmuel doesn't qualify his statement. He doesn't tell you that, well, there's a certain point in time when the tzli and the basar has already been pulling all its dam, and, you know, kolmara admumis shabo. All that is omitted here in Shmuel. Shmuel seems to give an absolute statement, unqualified, that even after you roasted the piece of meat, when you cut that roasted piece of meat and the so-called dam, which we're saying is not really dam, is pulled, it goes forward and it enters, penetrates into the kikar, you can't eat the kikar anymore. And li'olam, it seems like, you know, under all circumstances. And he's not going to add this qualification, well, let's see what level of tzli, you know, the roasted meat got up to. Maybe it already got to the point of kola mara adumdumis, you know, after the talatin rosso, va'ashon, and so forth. So the Gemara says, shiny hustle. The Gemara now wants to be machalik between the two cases. One case is, again, let's go over it, where he puts a receptacle underneath the basar tzli to receive the shuman basar. And Shmuel says he's allowed to do that once you pass the point in which the basar tzli was already polate all its dam adav nunis, when it has a mara ad mumis, as opposed to the case where he cuts a piece of tzli over a kikar, over a loaf of bread. Shani Hassam, the case where he cuts the meat over the bread is more chamur. And the reason for that is called agav duchka de sakina polit. Now we're going to have to figure out what this means, but let's just let's call it gibberish right now. We'll just translate the gibberish and then we try to make some sense out of it. He's saying that by cutting the piece of meat with a knife, the knife is able to cause, through the pressure on the piece of meat, a certain plate of dam, of dam. Now, what does that mean, of dam? We just finished saying that we got to the point of kola mara adam dumis. So we got to the point where the tzli has already been polate all its dam. So what exactly is going on over here? So let's just suggest the following interpretation, and we're going to go through an analysis here of the Ravid and see if what we said makes sense according to the Ravid. So I'm just going to suggest one superficial interpretation of this Gemara. There's a certain point in time where this tzli slows down its process of spitting forth dam. And again, the Gemara looks for simonim barabbanim. How do you know that process has slowed down and it slowed down to the extent that whatever dam is still coming out, it's just sort of vestiges. It's leftover. It's moel. It's not really dam. And whatever that point is, Talatim Rosso, we're not going into that right now. But there's a certain barometer and a certain test which we can take and know that now the basar is no longer being polate down. What that means is that the tzli, the process of tzli, has now come to its fruition. Tzli, in halachic terms, means that it's still being polate down. Once the tzli terminates and the piece of meat is completely roasted, at that point the platus dam has slowed down. Now again, when I say slowed down, I use my language deliberately, because I don't mean to say there's no more dam left. Because again, if there's no more dam left, I'm not going to have any opening here, any petach, to understand this Gemara about duchka de sakina. Obviously, duchit sakina means that there's some sort of vestige of dam, and the and that that dam could somehow have significance and have a certain, we'll call it a volume, and maybe a texture, maybe a color. It may have some sort of, you know, prepared some sort of descriptions that fit dam. And normally, if you leave the tzli alone, you know, leave it to its druthers without, you know, intervening with cutting the tzli, with cutting the basar, then we can assume that at that point, which we've described as, you know, this mystical concept called talatim rasa, at that point the process of tzli is completed, and therefore there's no more platas dam. Again, what you see is not dam that comes out afterwards. However, there is a possibility of speeding up that process even after it reached talatim rasa. In other words, even where the process of tzli has really come to its fruition, and therefore we assume it's not being poleg dam, and the whole process has slowed down and come to a halt, so to speak, but no, you can somehow, you know, do some sort of profound radical action to the basar tzli to remove a significant amount of dam. Again, when I say amount of dam, I don't know. I can't answer this question. I don't know if it's the volume of the dam that's going to come out. I don't know if it's the intensity of the dam, if it's the color of the dam. I don't know what it is, but it's still considered dam. Now, how do you intervene with some sort of action that's so profound that you somehow get a significant dam out of the tzli, even though it's already reached the stage of kola ad mumimus shabo, and what it's being polled is no longer dam? And the answer is through duchka de sakina. So again, this is on a very superficial level. That's the best I can do right now. What I want to study with you is the Ravid, and maybe perhaps the Ravid would shed a little bit more of a light on this very difficult sugya. When I say difficult, I mean it very subjectively. For me, this has been a very challenging sugya. The next sugya I'm a little bit more at home with. But let's see if we can finish this sugya. The Ravid, as you may know, wrote a super commentary on the Rif. Now, the Ravid that we're about to study is an analysis of the Rif. It's not in his commentary on the Rif, to the best of my knowledge, but it's quoted in the Rashba. So it's the Rashba quoting the Ravid, who's analyzing the Rif. Now, in order to appreciate the Ravid's problem with the Rif, which he's going to try to solve, let's just make a summary of the final conclusion of this Gemara. The Gemara seems to conclude the following, that according to Shmuel, the case where he cuts basar on top of kikar is more chamur than the regular case of tzli, where we got to the point of kol amara ad dubdima shabo, because of the dochak of the sakin. The dochak of the sakin, the pressure of the knife, is what's going to bring out some sort of dam. And without the knife, if just the tzli is giving forth its pulling its dam in a natural way, almost automatically, without any intervention with the knife, then we say that it's already done what it's done, and that process of platas dam has completed itself. And after that, it's kol amara dam dumishal. Now here's where we get to the Rif. The Rif has two different sakir, two different final verdicts or conclusions that seem to contradict one the other. The Rif paskins that if you cut a piece of meat on top of basar, then you're allowed to eat. I'm sorry, if you cut a piece of meat on top of a kikar of lechem, you're allowed to eat the lechem. Now, where does the Rif get such a thing? So the answer is, that's not Shmuel. Shmuel, if you remember, took that kikar and he fed it to his dog. But it was Rava. Rava ate it himself. Rav Kahana gave it to his servant. And the Gemara asks how he could do such a thing. And the Gemara says he would have eaten it himself, except that He was an Isthmus. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So just to summarize, we have the following. We have Shmuel doesn't eat the kikar. He throws it to his dog. We have Rav Huna, who didn't eat it himself, but he gave it to his shamas. But he would have eaten himself if not for the fact that he was an Isthmus. And then we have Rava, who actually ate the piece of bread without any hesitation. So the Rif has the audacity now of paskining Lakula that you're allowed to eat this piece of bread. And the reason for that is because you have both Rav Huna and Rava ganging up against Shmuel. However, when the Rif gets to the other issue that we discussed, are you allowed to place a receptacle under the tzli in order to receive in that receptacle the Shuman Shel Basar? Here, the Rif is very machmir. And he says the following, that the only way I'm going to allow you to put this receptacle under the tzli is if you apply the, I call it the magical formula of Rav Ashi, if you remember with the two clumps of salt, where he puts one clump of salt on top of the basar, the other clump of salt on top, inside this kli. And the salt, if you remember, causes a certain separation between the dam and the Shuman Shel Basar. Now that chumra of Rav Ashi applies even after we've reached the shear of Talatim Rasa, if you recall. Rav Ashi was not happy with Talatim Rasa because he thought maybe one side of the meat was fully roasted, but maybe the top side of the meat was not roasted, and therefore Rav Ashi introduced this magical method of separating the Shuman from the Dam. But it's quite clear that the Rif understood that even though we've passed the stage of Talatim Rasa, which according to Shmuel now there is no more dam, and yet the Rif paskins like Rav Ashi that there is dam. So we've passed Talatim Rasa, so there's dam. There's now a tarobus in this receptacle of dam and Shuman Shel Basar. And in order to separate that, you have to use this magical formula of Rav Ashi with the two clumps of salt. So how could it be that on the one hand, when it comes to cutting a piece of tzli on top of a kikar, the Rif has no problem. He says, go ahead and eat the kikar. The dam is coming out of the kikar. So we'll say it's not dam. Why? Because it's after the point of kola adam dumishibo. Yeah, but the same Rif turns around and he says that unless you do this magical formula of Rav Ashi, as long as the tzli, even after it reaches the point of kola timroso, but it still is maflit, it's still polate dam, and the dam is mixing together with the shuman, we have to throw out the shuman. So it's very strange. The Rif is making in the case of the kikar, and he's going to allow you to eat the kikar, even though you cut the piece of roasted meat on top of the kikar. He's going to be machmir when you put the receptacle under the tzli to assume that there's dam coming out of the tzli. And he doesn't make any distinctions here. The very fact that he's activating the principle of Rav Ashi indicates that he's already beyond Shmuel. Because if you remember, Rav Ashi was more machmir than Shmuel. Shmuel said that we have a barometer and we can use that test to decide that what's coming out of the tzli is no longer dam. And Rav Ashi didn't accept that barometer. He's assuming even after you got to that simon, even after you got to that point of talatim rasa, there's still dam coming out, just we can magically separate the dam from the shuman. So the Ravid asks this question. I'm going to read the Ravid's kasha. He says, Piskei HaRif Sosrim Zedzeh, the two verdicts or decisions, rulings of the Rif contradict one the other. Sherei Pasak HaRava, Shemekel Yosem Mishmuel. Right, Rava was the one who took that kikar that has dominated and he ate it. And the Rif accepts Rava. So obviously the Rif is not worried about the dam. But then, Pasak Rav Ashi, who says we're worried about the dam, because the dam from the tzli is mixing up with what? With the Shuman Shel Basar. And the only way we can separate the two is through Rav Ashi's method.
Aren't those two different situations? One is after it's cooked, the other is while it's being cooked.
No, on the contrary. He's saying that Rav Ashi's chumra, which the Rif accepts la halacha, is even after we've passed Shmuel. Right? Shmuel said that once it's fully roasted, the process of tzli has come to its fruition, which he tests with his barometer called Talatim Rosso. And at this point, Shmuel says the dam coming out of the meat, since it's already completely roasted, is not dam. Comes along Rav Ashi, says, nein, it's still dam, and you're going to have to somehow separate it from the shuman in that receptacle. So we see that the Rif is passing the Rav Ashi that the dam continues to be dam, even past the point of completion of tzli, and yet if you cut a tzli on top of a kikar, the Rif passing is like Rav, that you're allowed to eat the kikar. What happened to the dam? Vitirates. So we want to get to the Rav's answer, because maybe this will shed a new light on our sugya. He says the following. Lidas kulam, no one questioned the following premise. Dam hayotze li achar, the dam that comes after the tzli, after tzli is completed, the kolsad mumimis habasar, eno osuminator. Everybody agrees, says the Ravid, that that dam that we're dealing with here is not dam da oraisa. And that has to do with the concept of dam that I told you needs a lot more research, which is called dam aporesh min achai, that there has to be a prisha of the dam while the basar is still full of its dam. So this dam that comes out after the process of tzli has completed itself is certainly not osu min hatorah, nor vas. But what is it? Ha'isurim shebesugyasenu kulam heim mishum maris ha'ayim. You remember this, Raven? That all the surim that we're dealing with in our sugya, because of the dam that comes out after, post kolsa dad mumisa, where the tzli is already completed, that's all mirabonon. It's not really dam even, but rather it's maris ayin. The spectator thinks that it's dam. L'dashmuel yesh yoser chashash maris ayin bekika. Now we're going to get down to the machlokas between Shmuel and Rav. Rav thinks that when you slice a piece, I'm sorry, we're up to Shmuel. Shmuel thinks that when you slice a piece of roasted meat on top of a kikar of basar, and if you remember, the redness permeates throughout the entire piece of the kikar pas lechem from me'eva li'eva. You remember this discussion that we had yesterday? It goes from the top to the bottom. And he says that is more of a maris ayin situation, we'll try to understand why, than the case of taking a piece of roasted meat and allowing the liquid that has a red color to it drip down into and be collected into a receptacle. Me'asher b'moel ha'adom shemis'asef b'kli b'sha'as ha'tzli aliyachar shekol sa'ad mumimis ha'bosa. And yet, let me just say it to you, Balabatish, what he's saying is that the spectator understands that at some point, when you've roasted the meat completely, all the dam is already out. Anything that comes out afterwards that looks like dam is not really dam. That's obvious to the eye of the spectator, and therefore there's no maris ayin. He knows that what's coming out of the tzli is not dam, but rather moel. Masha Enkin, in the case of a kikar, the spectator sees you eating a piece of kikar. You just cut a piece of meat on top of it. The kikar is saturated with a redness of dam. He doesn't know at what point that dam penetrated into the basar. Maybe it was in an early stage of tzli. So again, I'm not giving you any fancy lumdus over here. I'm just telling you that the Ravid understands that the machlokas between Shmuel and Rav about the kikar is a machlokas about how far we have to go with maris ayin. Shmuel is very worried about eating this kikar because it looks like it's saturated with dam. And the only way of removing maris ayin is if the dam didn't penetrate throughout the kikar, or maybe it changed its color, or what else did we have? Another possibility that it's klishta. Apparently the whole density has changed. However, Shmuel is very, very concerned. I'm sorry. So Shmuel is very, very concerned about the kikar. Why? Because again, there's dam be'ever le'ever. And even though, again, that's not really dam, but the onlooker doesn't know that. But in the case of tzli, when you are collecting the dam in a receptacle, the spectator apparently knows that you're only doing this at a later stage. Was he there earlier, and he knew how long ago you put the basar in the tzli? I don't know. I can't answer any of those questions. I can just tell you what I do know. I can't tell you what I don't know. But somehow the spectator knows that when you are collecting the shuman in this receptacle under the tzli, you're doing so after we pass the point of kola admumis shabas l'shabo. The tzli has already completed its process. It was polate all its dam, and what's coming out from the tzli is moel and not dam. Uledas rova bekikar ein maris ayin klal. The spectator is not at all suspicious that you're eating this kikar, which is saturated with dam. And why is that? Again, I can just tell you what the Ravid says. Bideshadam bolua bakikar. He says that the dam was absorbed inside the kikar. And what do you see on the outside of the kikar, the outer surface layer of the kikar? Eino nira ela ke'ad mumish shel yayin. It looks like red wine. It does not look like dam. So the whatever thickness of dam was, you know, dripped and was absorbed by the kikar is nivla betocha kikar. It's bolua inside the kikar. So again, Rabbi Osai, obviously, if you're a student of the Lithuanian yeshivas, you would have to spend who knows how much time to try to figure out what they're arguing about. You know, Shmuel is worried because the onlooker sees a piece of bread that's saturated with dam from side to side, and Rava says no, the dam itself is bolua inside the kikar, and what he sees on the outside is obvious to him that it's yayin, it's, you know, it's like the red wine. I mean, go rack your brains and figure out, you know, what Shmuel and Rava are arguing about according to the right. Then he goes on and he says the following: the afra of Ashi Shehichmir Behanochas Kli Tachas Hatzli. Rav Ashi says you cannot put this receptacle under the tzli, even though again it's reached the point where the tzli is complete. Modelo, he also admits that Rav is correct, and we don't have to worry about Marasite in the case of Kikar. It doesn't fluke up the onlooker, the spectator. Ella, but what is Rav Ashi? L'daito, hanochas kli tachas atzli, chamur yoser le'inyin maris ayin, afili akar shekol sad mu'miso, b'pnei sh'adam mis'asef b'kli, fu nikar b'fnei atzmo. Again, another svara here, which sounds so technical, I can't, mechanical, I can't explain it to you. Rav Ashi is very machmir here, and he says, when you put the kli down, there's an accumulation of dam. It's almost as if he's saying that although the dam has changed its color, right, because it's after kol ad mumiso shebo, but when you add a volume together in one place, it gives it a dark color. I don't know, this is just Berzon. But he's saying that when the dam is misasif b'kli, it's nikar, it's omid b'fnei atzmo, and le'inyin maris ayin yesh lahachmir yoser. So now let's understand the psak, the two piskei harif, and why there's no contradiction. On the one hand, the rif is going to pass like rova, then in the case of the kikar, where is the dam? It's balua inside the kikar. What's on the outside of the kikar? It's only it's like red wine, and therefore the Rava is correct and the Rif accepts it. There's no Marasayin issue in the case of Kikar. He paskins on the other end like Rav Ashi, and that's even more chumradik than Shmuel. In the case of a Kli, when he puts the Kli under the Tzli and he wants to absorb and collect the She'eris truth is that's not right what I'm about to say. He really wants to collect the Shuman Shalbasa, as we said before. That's his goal. But at the same time, simultaneously, he's collecting the Admumish shall dam that's coming from the Tzli, even though again it's no Admumis. But once it's Nikar, because it's Misasef Bekli, then there's a problem on our side. So basically, What the Rebbe is doing here is he's saying that all the issues that we've been learning in this sugya are all issues of Maris Ayin. When do we enact an Issa because of Maris Ayin? When do we don't? Shmuel was more machmer in the case of Kikar. Rava was mekil in the case of Kikar. There is no Maris Ayin. Shmuel was mekil in the case where he puts the kli to receive the shuman shel basar, and some dam will also get into the kli because it's already after talatim raso and it's already after the kolad mumisa shel basar. Rav Ashi was more machmir because he thinks that there's going to be a collection and a density of dam in the kli and it's mixing with the shuman shel basar, and that's maris ayin. And the Rif decides that he's going to be mekil like Rav in the case of Kikar, and he's going to be machmir like Rav Ashi in the case of a kli tachas. That's the right.
With Maris Ayin, is there, I mean, let's say you could do it in a way where nobody would see what's going on, like it's all occurring in the oven. It's all collecting in the oven, and so once it comes out, nobody's going to see that.
Right, so that's what we call, Eric, are you familiar with the concept called Bechadri Hadorim? Have you ever heard that? It works like this. In Maris Ayin, there's a whole issue. What happens if what I do is totally private? I lock myself in a room, so no one's looking at me. I know what I'm doing, and I know everything is on the up. It's all mutter. But so this is a really complicated sugya. You know, Maris Ayin is not something that's very simple. You know, we're just touching the surface. You know, what does the yarmulke think, and the collection of dam, and the kikar with the balua, and all this stuff. But if you want, what do you say?
Unless you're Hanukkah with Maris Ayin.
Yeah, Maris Ayin is so complicated. The sugyas in Shabbos, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos has a question of taking garments that are still wet and putting them out in the sun, you know, and somebody might suspect that you washed it on Shabbos and it's Maris Ayin. So the Gemara wants to know, can you do it inside the house, but you don't do it outside the house. These are issues of Chadrei Chadorim. So I'm just telling you that there are many different nuances and rules and regulations when you do apply Chadrei Chad Maris Ayin and Chadrei Chadorim when you don't. I'll give you another example. You remember we discussed the case of putting milk on a fleishke table, but the milk is not milchus, right? For example, you have what's called chalav shkevin. See, you have milk that's not milk. Today it's unbelievably common. You know, you can get so many different types of soya milk and this milk and that milk, and it's all powerful. And the question is, are you allowed to put it on the table in a fleshika table? So again, it's an issue of Marasai. So the Ramah writes that if you leave the almonds on the table, then everyone will see that the milk is almond milk and it's not this. And others say, no, you can't do that. So they want to claim that the Ramaz Kula is only in Basav Chalav Derabbanan. He's only eating Oaf. You remember we discussed that Oaf with Chalav is only Derabbanan. So it could be that in Maris Ayin on an Issa Derabbanan, we could be Mekil if we have Simonim and we assume that the flag will get the message across. But if it was a Maris Ayin onto a Doraisa, then we don't accept any Simonim. Again, this is all part of the sugya of Maris Ayin. All right, let's begin the next sugya because here I feel a little bit more comfortable. All right, we'll get some, maybe later on we'll get some hot water here because my throat is already going on. You want to do me a favor, Chaim?
Sure.
Yeah, spill out like this much, so you'll have this much, and then fill it up with hot water, so I'll be able to drink it immediately. All right. Now, a lot of what we've been discussing in the last blot or two blot of Gemara is based on Shmuel's principle called Moliach Hareyu Kiroseach. That salting, it creates a heat. And now the question is going to be, what happens if you salt two things in the same utensil and one of them has dam and the other doesn't have dam? So that which has dam, the salting process is going to cause a plata of the dam, and the other foodstuff is going to absorb that dam. Now this question becomes very complicated because you could go a step further and you could ask, what about the food that you need to salt? If the dam now is rolling out of that foodstuff, and it's even being absorbed by some other foodstuff, which now is going to become osur, then why doesn't the dam go back into that same original food stuff? And it should ask for that. Thank you so much.
Let me open it right.
Perfect. Couldn't have done better. Amar Rav Nachman, Dogim V'Ofos Shemalachan Ze'im Ze'. Now watch what happens. The Dam of Oath is Asur Midoraisa, has the same din as Dam Basa. In a minute we'll ask the question why Rav Nachman gave the example of Oath and not the example of Basa. Dog doesn't have Dam. Whatever blood that looks like blood in a fish is not halachic blood, and there's no problem. Now he's doing malicha to get rid of the dam in the oath, and that dam is awesome. But at the same time, what does he have in the basket, in the receptacle? He has dogim. And Rav Nachman says, asurim, the dog now becomes osur. Why? Because the dam that's polate from the oaf is now nivla into the fish. And once the dog is bolea, the dam of the oaf, there was very few English words in that sentence, right? Mm-hmm. once the dog is bolea, the dam of the oaf, the dog becomes osur. What about the Ofos themselves, they are mutter. So you're allowed to eat the chicken, you have to throw out the fish. So Rashi and Tosus say together, you know, here's an agreement between Rashi and Tosus, that the reason why the chicken does not become asur is because it's the dog that's boleh, the dog absorbs the dam of the oaf. And the oaf would not now be chozer ubolea from the dog. What do I mean? Once the dog was bolea at that moment of time, then the dam inside the fish is obviously osur. That's why the fish is osur. And now, since the fish is also being salted at the same time, why not say that the fish now will be maflit its tam, which now is a tam of dam, and therefore the oaf, which is located in the same receptacle, should now be chozu boler. So Rashi and Tos says no. The oaf is so preoccupied with being maflit that it's not boler. So it's a one-way street as far as the oaf is concerned. And even if the dog, after it absorbs the taste of the dam, now spits forth that taste, but there's no one there to receive that taste. Why? Because the ofos are busy in a process of what we call plata, and this is a principle that we've mentioned on many occasions called Aili Dutard Liflot Lobali, that when you're preoccupied with being polite, with spitting forth something, you don't simultaneously absorb something. That's according to Rashi and Tosfos. However,
this is Rashi Asurim.
Rashi Dibri Amaskal Asurim and Tosfos Dibri Amaskal Dogim. Again, if we have time, we'll go through the whole Tosfos, but that will take about a month. Now, the Rush quotes the Rashbam, and the Rashbam says that not only did Rav Nachman prohibit eating the fish, but he also prohibited eating the chicken. Why? Because hadogim liachar shebalu chozrim upoltim v'osrim es ha'ofos, and the ofos are bolea. So the Ramban is aware of this machlokes, and he says the following. If you're going to hold, like Rashi and Tosos, that the chicken itself remains mutter, and the dog is not being polate its dam through malicha in such a way that it would generate some sort of an iser in the ofos, he says, I understand, madua nesarim hadogim al yidei hadam shebolu mea ofos, He says the following: I have a kasha, and I can only answer this kasha according to Rashi and Tosfos. I can't answer this kasha according to the Rashbam. What's his kasha? He says the following: why is Rav Nachman up in arms here? Because the dog was bolea the dam from the chicken, correct? I don't understand, says the Rabban. I have a simple solution to this problem. How did the dam get into the fish? Through melicha, correct? Ha! So if melicha is the process through which the dam ofos was nivla into the fish, let's use melicha on the fish. We're going to do melicha on the fish and get rid of that dam. This is the Ramban's kasha. Everybody hear this kasha? Again, I thought of a few answers to this question, but the brilliance of the kasha, it's like really something.
Just repeat that.
Let me repeat the kasha. Rav Nachman says, take the fish and feed it to your cat. Why? Why don't I just do melicha? The whole problem here is because since there was a melicha both chicken and fish in the same pot, in the same receptacle, so that melicha caused the fish to be bolea the dam that was niflat from the yof. Why don't I just take the fish, salt the fish, and through the process of salting the fish, it'll be polate the dam that it was bolea. I mean, easy come, easy go, right? The bolea of the dam was a result of melicha. So why don't we use melicha as a process to reverse the situation and take the dam and remove it from the dam? So he answers that I have an answer based on Rashi and Tosfos. And Rashi and Tosfos hold that Eino yochel l'mlochosam, he can't do melicha on the dogim, l'haflit es adam, mipnei shemelicha eino mo'ila l'haflit es adam shebolo mimokam acher. He says that Rashi and Tosfos, and it's a little bit different than what I told you before, but according to the Ramban, Rashi and Tosfos are based on the following principle, that the reason why the ofos remain mutter, according to Rashi and Tosfos, right? That's against the Rashbam, is because although you're salting the dogim, right? That salting process is not successful, it's not powerful enough to be maflit the dam that was bolua mimakom acher. Listen to those two words, mimakom acher. He's saying the following: that when does melicha achieve the goal of removing the dam? That's only the natural dam. But if there was dam that was injected, that was absorbed from some other source, which he calls mimakom acher, like for example, we're talking about dam of, which is now inside the fish, that dam could not be removed through melicha. They gave me, go figure out why. You know, you take your head and hit the wall and figure out why. But that's how the Ramban understood Rashi and Tosfos. I understood Rashi and Tosfos that the chicken is too busy being pulled its dam to now be bolea. He's saying, no, that's not what Rashi and Tosfos is saying. He's saying that according to Rashi and Tosfos, the reason why the ofos remain permissible is because the melicha process, although it will allow the dog to be bolea the dama of, it will not be successful in getting the dam to be polate the dam. And the melicha process will not allow the dog to be polate the dam, and why not? Because that's not its own natural dam, but rather it's dam mimokom acher.
So follow that up. So in the case where you would put melicha without the oaf, in other words, you take the dog and I put it and I salt the dog now someplace else. So according to that shita, I wouldn't be able to get the dam out of the fish.
Correct.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do with this fish. Okay. Feed it to your cat. It's irreversible. Okay. Why? Because the dam in the fish is not its own dam, but rather it's the dam mimokam acher. That's how he understands Rashi. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that that's why the offer is so mutter. Why? Because this malicha process is not going to take the dam from the dag and get it out such that the offos would be mutter. That's the good news. But the bad news is that you cannot salvage the fish by processing it through malicha.
It also means that if I have another source that from original dam can be absorbed by the oaf. In other words,
then you can't get it out.
Then you can't. In other words, if I had two things that were being malicha, yeah,
right,
that needed to be malicha, I don't know, one dam, one kosh, one oaf, and one chai or something. That was that was
a behemoth,
whatever. So then that means that both could be no good.
Correct.
Okay.
Because then this is going to be bolea, and you can't get it out.
Right. According to this, then you can't ever salt two things at the same time.
Right.
Because blood.
The chiddush of Rav Nachman is that you can't salt dogim at the same time, because the dogim will be bolea the dam. Again, if it's two different things, like basar and basar, or oaf and oaf, or oaf and basar, then for sure if you salt them at the same time. But again, we're really not ready for the punchline, because the truth is, I don't want to confuse you, but you can salt two things at the same time. That's called menukav. That's because there are holes on the bottom of the receptacle, and therefore the dam goes completely down out of this hole. But we're talking now about a klisha eino menukav. So there's a clog up, a backlog of the dam, and therefore it'll be this. But again, I want to again reserve judgment, because we still haven't gotten back to my principle that I mentioned earlier of ivy the torid liflo lo bali. So we have to see where that fits in. But again, according to the Ramban, the reason why you can't get rid of the dam bolua from the dag through the salting process is because that dam is not the natural dam of the fish itself, but rather came extraneously. However, l'das ha-Rashbam, according to the Rashbam, Shagam ha-ofos asurin, which means that according to the Rashbam, through the salting process, not only is the fish going to be bolea the dam, but the salting is going to cause the fish to be polate its dam. Even though it's dam mimakom acher. In other words, Rashbam doesn't recognize this principle of dam mimakom acher. So in all situations, the malicha process is going to cause a plata. Therefore, the ofos are also. If this be the case, then kosher. I don't understand, according to Rashbam. Why doesn't he just take the fish, which absorbed the dam of the ofos, the yachzor, the amlichem? Why doesn't he do malicha on a second round? Right? Because again, according to Rashbam, who holds that even though the dam inside the fish is mimakamakra, it could still be polate through the malicha process. So why don't we just salt the fish until the point at which we believe that all the dam is nifla? The Tirates, and the Ramban answers that l'shita zu yesh lomar shemalicha eina maflito legamrei es kol hadam. Now again, if I'm reading this correctly as a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, I think what he's saying is that malicha is a matir, you know, it's a halakhic entity. Physically, in the world of physics, the malicha will not successfully remove all of the dam. It never does so. There's always going to be some dam left. Ella, shadam shelo niflat al yidei malicha lo yiflot shuv li'olam. In other words, the dam somehow gets frozen in the body of the meat, so to speak, in a way that it'll never come out. And that's where the Torah says we don't have to worry about dam. Because as we mentioned earlier, the issue of dam is that the dam was porish. It gets out of the meat. But here, once you've salted the meat, any leftover dam will not be porish. Okay. B'chol malichos basar, in classic malich of meat, einanu choshin li'oso dam mu'at shelo niflat. We don't have to worry and be concerned about the dam that wasn't niflat as a result of the malicha, that's the vestige of dam that's left in the basar. It'll never come out again. And therefore, it's eino nesar. And it's like dam hevarim shalom pireish mimkomo. Again, for that we'd have to really learn the sugi of dam, but dam that's frozen and it'll never be poreish is not dam, as far as halachic dam is concerned. Oh. Avodogim elu, shebolu dam, shepireish mea ofos. He says, lo toil lehem malicha mishum sha mibnei oso dam, mibnei also dabuachi sharli acharikan chalem yisudam. Now watch what happens. The dam came out of the ofos. It was already porish. It's real McCoy dam. Now it was nivla in the fish. So what are you going to do now? According to the Rashbam, you could salt the fish, and the fish will be polen. Yeah, but how much will it be polen?
Not enough.
Not enough. Because you still have dam left over. So in a classic malicha case, the dam that's left over is dam that was never poreish, so it'll never get added in. That's not dam. But in this case, since the dam came from the ofos, it already had a status of dam. Again, the lumpness here is very clear that there's a chalashem dam isur. The moment that the ofos were polen, it's dam. Now the fish was bolea the dam, and what are you going to do? You're going to salt the fish. Okay, fine, salt the fish, and according to Rashbam, that's a very, very valid process, but the only problem is you're left with dam inside, because malicha never completes, according to the Ramban, the process of getting rid of all the dam. But normally, if it's the dam that was never poreish, it was always inside, if I can get to the point where I freeze that dam in such a way that it'll never, ever be poreish, then the Torah doesn't answer that dam. But in a case where the dam was already dam, and now it's left inside the fish, because even after malicha, you're left with a vestige of dam, therefore, the ofos are.
That's a really cool expression of makom acher.
This is really cool. I'm telling you, this Ramban is cool. All right, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. I mean, this. We'll have to pick this up tomorrow. I didn't say we finished the sugi, but this is already, I'm feeling a little more comfortable than Marasai. You know, Marasai here and the kikar here, and it's inside, it's outside. All right.